Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soulmates Podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Rachel.
Today, we're talking about the anime My Happy Marriage. It premiered July 5th, 2023 on Netflix, simulcast. Another Netflix. Can you believe it, Rachel?
Listen, Netflix is easy. It's something I'm already in. I feel like most people have access to it or access through someone else, so...
Before we started recording, we were chatting a little bit, and Rachel and I have very different opinions on this show.
We're like, the drama faces, Emily is the sad face, and I'm the happy face.
Usually we agree. We see eye to eye on so many anime, but we are definitely in two different camps on this one.
I bet I will agree with your critiques. I am just such a hardcore, like, romantic-y person that I can't help but like it. That's my prediction.
So, My Happy Marriage is an anime, but it is based on Japanese light novels, which are basically straightforward short novels with some illustrations in them. They're actually being sold at like Barnes & Noble now and Books A Million. I remember you could not even get light novels unless you ordered it online. So it's very exciting that you can find like English translated Japanese light novels.
Mm-hmm.
Be grateful, everyone. Be very grateful because it used to be a desert in terms of light novels.
Yeah.
My Happy Marriage, based on a light novel, it was published on a site that is a user-generated novel publishing site in Japan. So think Wattpad or AO3, something like that. It was later acquired by a publishing company, and then they did a full imprint of it. And then there was a manga adaptation and a live-action film that came out in March of 2023. So many things have come out of this property, all very quickly.
Which must mean that people like it to some degree, or it had a fan base that followed it.
Definitely. Rachel, why don't you read the Wikipedia summary? And we'll see how accurate that is.
Please forgive any butchering of these Japanese names as well. It's not my forte. Here we go. In an alternative version of the 19th century Meiji Restoration era, in which spirits and magic are real, but in decline, Mio Saimori, born without supernatural talent, is forced into an existence of servitude by her abusive stepmother. When Mio finally comes of marriageable age, though, her hopes of being whisked away to a better life crumble after she discovers her fiancé's identity, Kiyoka Kudo, a commander apparently so cold and cruel that all his previous would-be brides fled within 3 days of their engagements. With no home to return to, Mio resigns herself to her fate and soon finds that her pale and handsome husband-to-be is anything but the monster she expected. As they slowly open their hearts to each other, both realize the other may be their chance at finding true love and happiness.
Aww. I think that's a pretty accurate summary. Sometimes they only talk about the first episode, but that's pretty accurate to the series. How many episodes of this did you watch?
I haven't watched the latest episode that is out as of September 14th, which is when we're filming this. So I think I've watched the first 9 episodes.
So I watched the first 9 episodes too, so we're totally caught up as of date of recording.
Yes.
This anime is currently being simulcast, so it is brand spanking new. But we are only going to talk about the first 3 episodes, and yes, there are going to be spoilers, but not so many spoilers that will ruin the whole show. So listen at your own risk, and if you're not into spoilers, just fast forward to the end.
Yeah, the point of these is for it to be kind of like an extended teaser for you guys. We've experienced it. We've like been in the battlegrounds. We're going to give you a little taste of the first 3 episodes so you can decide if you want to jump in or not.
You know, everyone's time is valuable, and with so much to watch these days, you need someone to shift through the shit.
Yeah, it's a time commitment to watch the first 3 episodes, so before you do that, listen to our 30-minute podcast, or less, and yes. Then decide if you want to watch.
Okay, so let's get into episode 1. So it starts with Mio Saimori. She's the eldest daughter of the Saimori family, and this family is famed for their spiritual abilities, but she is a muggle. She doesn't have any magic. She can't sense any of the monsters that they call grotesques, because they are grotesque, like spirits. Think like really disgusting yokai, that kind of stuff. Like monsters made out of shadows and oozing muck, that kind of shit. Just gross.
Nasty.
So, following the death of her mother, her dad remarries his lover, scandalous, Tanoko, and they get married, and then they have a second daughter named Kaya, and since her childhood, Mio has been treated like a servant, basically since her stepmom came into her life. She only has one friend who is like, he's so beta. He's nice, but he is so beta.
No, he is.
And he is, like, so in love with her.
Yeah.
Like, his goal in life is to rescue her by marrying her. And I got a lot of thoughts on that that I will say at the end.
We're just gonna do the eyes emoji for now to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for her childhood best friend, Koji, his dad is like, oh, no, no, no. I am engaging you to Kaya. Because she's going to be head of the Saimoris because she actually has this supernatural ability. To get rid of her in a way that makes her useful, Mio's dad arranges for Mio to be engaged to Kyoka Kudo from the Kudo family. And he is notoriously bad-tempered. He's a soldier. And he has scared away all of his potential wives within 3 days of meeting. They all just hike up their skirts and run away, even though he looks like a 10 out of 10 smoke show.
Whoa. And you don't know that. That's like not a well-known thing. Like, his most well-known feature is that he's ill-tempered. Not that he's a fucking smoking hottie.
You know, not that he is a bishi, if you will.
Like, the second I laid eyes on this man on screen, I'm like, Emily has to watch this, or she's already watching it.
And I was already watching it, girl. I'm very easy to read. My type is Kurama from Yu Yu Hakusho when he's in his white, like, fox. Ooh,
girl, me too.
Like, that is me. back to episode one. So the only thing known about this guy is that he's a soldier and that he's ill-tempered and women don't like him. But Mio is like, hell yeah, I'm getting out of here. And so she goes to live in his household. And Koji is like bummed out about this, but he's like, well, as long as she's escaping her family, it's better for her. So I'm just gonna not do anything. So she goes over to live in the Kudo household. She gets there and it is a very remote estate for reasons. Eyes emoji. And she ends up meeting the housekeeper, Yuri. The housekeeper then, like, welcomes her in. She's this very nice older woman, very matronly, very motherly, the mother that Mia has not had for many, many years. And she's introduced to her fiance, and she's like, oh my god, this man is a 10 out of 10 smoke show. He's so hot. Oh my god. But Mr. Kudo is very irritated by her passiveness and her subservient manner and her low self-esteem. And you know what, girl? Fucking, I agree. I was fucking so annoyed at this character.
I feel like we need to pause and talk about Mio's character traits because I feel like we've been misrepresenting her as, like, even remotely sassy. She is not. This girl has been mistreated since she was a small child. She has beaten down.
She's Cinderella, but with more trauma.
Like, she's beaten down to the point where she's just like, if you've ever met someone who's like very, very, very deep into depression, that's kind of how she is. She's just like listless, I think is a good way to describe her. She's just kind of like, ugh.
She is the dead rose emoji. A wilted flower.
100%.
And you just want to grab her by her shoulders and shake her. I understand that she is a character archetype, and I get that she has trauma, but, like, I was so fucking annoyed by her character throughout every episode. And we are watching 9 episodes of me being like, oh, fuck this bitch. But
yeah,
make it make sense.
She needed 10% yeah. more zest. I understand why the character was written that way, because she really did experience a very intense trauma. But like, once she was out of that route, like, away from that house, I feel like she should have improved maybe a little bit more quickly. But everyone is different. I get that. But
yeah.
I do identify more with a main character that is more spicy. Yeah. Yes, I was downtrodden, but like, I'm gonna fight back, you know? And she doesn't really have that aspect to her character.
Yeah, she is extremely subservient.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at her too hard, she'll flinch.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a trauma response. But me, personally, I find myself getting so annoyed at her. You know?
That's fair.
And you just want to shake her and be like, snap out of it!
She could have been written Wake a up! Little bit differently. Yeah.
And the way that her actor voices her, she's like, hello, my name is Mio. It's nice to meet you. She sounds like she's in Les Mis, dying of fucking tuberculosis. Like, of the tuberculosis
of hate. Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
Even though I was annoyed by her. I stuck around for more episodes, so. Also, Mr. Kudo is so cunty.
Ooh.
I love
serving.
Him.
Serving.
He served.
Serving no with crumbs. His fucking ponytail. Ugh.
I know. I love the ponytail.
I know. Me too.
Okay. Rachel, why don't you give the rundown for episode 2?
Okay. My pleasure. All right. So, Yuri assures Mio that the rumors of Kyoka's cruelty have been exaggerated, even though, like, the first time she meets him, he's like, if I tell you to die, you die, is, like, one of the things he says. And I was like, damn, that was 0 to 100 really quick.
And she's just like, okay, I yeah. will die. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, he's like, I was oh, joking. Shit. What? Oh, whoa. Okay. I don't think he was joking, but he was, like, trying to get a rise out of her. And she was just like, okay, I'll lay down and die. And he was like, not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Mio dreams of the day her father confirmed she lacked the Saimori spirit sight and started neglecting her. I feel like the neglect started sooner than that, but yeah, like internally. But anyways, she like has this nightmare. So she wakes up really early because she was basically a servant before, and she prepares breakfast and serves it to Kyoka, but only for him to then think that she poisoned it, to, like, poison him. And she's, like, very offended by that, but doesn't properly, like, defend herself. Kyoka then just leaves to train his supernaturally gifted soldiers to kill demons called grotesqueries. Though grotesqueries are so rare, they have not fought one in years.
And yet the government keeps pouring money into the military.
Right, yeah. Sounds familiar.
I know.
That's another interesting aspect to this anime, because it could totally just be the romance and the family aspects of this, but there's also this added level of, like, supernatural shit that's happening, too.
Yes. I have a lot to say on that as well, but finish the summary of episode 2.
Okay. Meanwhile, Koji moves into the Saimori home because he's married to Kaya now and sees the tiny room Mio used to sleep in. Back at the Kudo estate, Kyoka notices Mio's habit of apologizing for everything, literally everything. Feeling guilty, he asks her to cook breakfast in the morning. And then Mio has another nightmare of her father allowing Kanoko to abuse her. Kyoka, this time around, when he receives the breakfast, praises her cooking and is perplexed when it makes her cry. He's literally like, it's good. And she, like, bursts into tears. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Bemused by her behavior, he decides to have the Saimori family investigated to see, like, what the fuck happened.
I'm glad that he wasn't just like, wow, that was weird, and then forgets about it. He was actually like, this is not normal.
Yeah, he was like, what the fuck happened to her? Elsewhere, Koji's dad is like, he's an asshole, but he's, like, furious. Uh-huh. To find out that Mio is engaged to Kyoka Kudo, having previously agreed that Koji would marry Kaya only if Mio was allowed to marry his eldest son, Kazushi, not Kyoka, who isn't his son, but another person. since her maternal relation to the Usaba family, Mio's relation, makes her very valuable as a wife even without her spiritual powers, because the Usaba family is like has immense spiritual power.
Yes, and even though Mio doesn't have any, her child could be a very powerful person with the spirit sight.
Right, and because Kyoko Kudo is also a very powerful spirit wielder, their baby could be like Super Jesus or whatever.
So. They're like the Metachlorians would be too high.
Right, exactly.
Episode 2 is when you really get into the supernatural aspect of the show. And you know me, I love romance. I will watch any slice of life with romance in it. I am there. But I was way more intrigued by this show for its supernatural elements, mm-hmm. and that there just happened to be a romance plot within it. Personally, I wished for much more explanation, mm-hmm. exploration of mm-hmm. the supernatural elements of this story. I feel like a lot of it is very shorthanded, especially for the intended first audience of this, like, Japanese people.
Right.
When I wanted more explanation. I wanted more depth into the weird, spooky side.
I agree.
Why are all these demons ugly and scary and spooky? Were they always like that? What determines who gets spirit sight and who doesn't?
Right.
I wanted to know that. And the story just is like, poor Mio. She's so weak.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like at this point in the story, that part of the plot has not been very well defined. I'm hoping they do more explanation, but we'll see.
Watching up until episode 9, a little bit more is explained, but not as much as I would have preferred.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
The first couple of episodes, it is very much focused on Mio and her relationship with the Kudo family, mm-hmm. and her relationship with the Saimori family. All the supernatural stuff is kind of backloaded into the last few episodes.
Right.
So, episode 3. Mr. Kudo invites Mio on their very first date.
Oh.
Mio has no idea what to do, and she's like, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to not be a bother. I will be not annoying.
I will act like I'm not here.
I know.
On this date, I'm not here.
I know. So meanwhile, at the Saimori residence, Koji's dad is still really pissed off about losing Mio as a potential bride. And he is assured by Mia's dad that once Mr. Kudo rejects Mio, and he certainly will because he rejects every woman, then Koji's dad can have her and do whatever. He's like, she's basically dead to me. I don't care what the fuck happens to her. And he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he
her is. Her dad is a gigantic piece of shit.
He's a total dick. Yeah.
Kaya, her sister, is a total brat. And she is so frustrated when overhearing them because they're just talking about Mio. And she's like, why aren't they talking about me? I'm the one getting married to his son.
Literally.
Which I can kind of understand, but she's still a giant brat. Meanwhile, remembering that Yurei told him about Mio mending her own clothes, Mr. Kudo is like, I gotta get this girl some more clothes. So he commissions a really, really nice kimono for her. Mio decides to hide her lack of spiritual gift in case Mr. Kudo abandons her. So she's like, I'm not talking about this at all. So she doesn't open up as to why her family treated her so horribly. She just, like, doesn't say anything. Mr. Kudo later gives her a comb. And the housekeeper is like, ooh, that means you're gonna get engaged. Ooh. And he's like, it's a comb. But secretly, he's like, it's a comb.
It's the comb.
I know, right? The next day, an informant shows Mr. Kudo the details of his investigation into the Saimori family. It's like a private detective comes in with pictures.
He's so funny. Like, because in the Meiji era, like, sometimes people wear Western clothing. So this guy is wearing, like, a pants, a shirt, and a hat. Like, he's a newsie. And is like, hey, boss, I got some evidence for you.
So fucking funny. Like, sometimes I forget that it's supposed to be alternate history set in the Meiji era. Mm-hmm. And then someone shows up dressed like that, and I'm like, oh, yeah. So, this PI shows Mr. Kodo all the evidence of the blatant abuse that Mio's family was doing to her for years. He also learns that she doesn't have any spiritual powers, and that's why they were giant dicks to her. And he finds out about her mom and her relation to the Usaba family. And we find out that the Usaba family is pretty much all gone except Mio, and they are able to manipulate people's minds, which makes them very powerful and very dangerous. As he is about to return to Mio, he destroys several Shikigami, furious that someone was spying on him.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's where the episode ends. Things are heating up between the couple and with the Machiavellian plot of marriages and spirit sites and bloodlines.
Yeah, the intrigue is happening at this point. Even all the way into episode 9 where we are, you still don't really have an idea of what completely is going on. So I do like that part of it. There's still the mystery while romance is happening, kind of. So
overall, this show, I mean, I think I said my piece mostly that I wish it did some more explaining of the supernatural side of it. I wish that Mio wasn't such a pushover, and I really, really hated her voice actor. I know that she was probably directed to sound like that, but like, I think it made it 10 times worse for me.
Really?
And made me hate her even more.
Yeah.
It's the difference between, oh, hello, Mr. Kodo, and, oh, hello, Mr. Kodo. I hated it. Fuck it, Kodo slayed. Loved his character design. He was sassy. He was deadly. I love him. He's the reason I kept watching the show.
Yeah.
And also, like, her sister and stepmom, obviously they're supposed to be like the Cinderella evil stepmother and evil stepsister. At least they had like some personality. Like, they gave it to you at least. Yeah. And when comeuppances happen in the future, in future episodes, you're like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I agree. I can't say as much at this point for Mio's stepmom, but Mio's stepsister, Kaya, I think they do a decent job with her as like a villain character because she's not super one note, actually. Like, they start to do some development for her as well, so I always appreciate that. Listen, she is super hateable. Like, I fucking hate her, but I also like when they bring a little bit more dimension to characters that are cast as like villains or opposing to the main character. So I do appreciate that about this anime. I could be wrong, but there are hints of it happening in the future.
Yeah, I don't want to give away what happens to her specifically, but I did like that she wasn't completely one note. She wasn't the, ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo,
the yeah, literally
evil, you know, anime villainess. She's definitely a product of how she was raised.
Yeah.
If your parents are being like, treat your sister like shit, you're better than her, are you just not gonna believe them?
Yeah.
And also, the entire Saimori family legacy is resting on her shoulders as the one with the spirit sight.
Right.
That's a lot of pressure to grow up with, knowing that you are going to have to continue on your family's legacy. And if you fuck up, then it's fucking over.
Yeah. So I do appreciate that about this anime. And I was correct in my prediction that I agree with all of your critiques. But I still do like it. And I'm probably going to continue to watch the episodes as they come out. Just because this is like what I like. It's fantasy and it's also romance together. And Kyoka is extremely easy to look at throughout every episode, so.
We need to bring back Bishonens, I swear to God. There has been a serious lack of Bishonen men. Mm-hmm. Where are they? Mm-hmm. Bring them back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, let's rate this.
On a scale from 1 to 5, how would you rate the acting in My Happy Marriage?
I'm gonna give it a 3. I've definitely heard better voice acting. It seems like, at least, I looked up the voice actor for Kyoka, and he is, like, a very new voice actor, it seems like. He hasn't done too many things. So I don't think Netflix, like, went above and beyond with their voice actor budget, necessarily. But it's not bad. I've heard way worse. But it's also not great.
So I'm going to agree with you, but I got to give it like 2 stars. In my heart, I hated it so much it would be 1 star, but I know that it was a director telling the voice actress for Mio to sound like that.
Yeah.
So I will forgive the acting for her. Everyone else I thought was good. I thought particularly that her sister Kaya, that voice actress nailed spoiled, bratty, evil sister.
Yeah.
Okay. On a scale from 1 to 5, how would you rate the plot of My Happy Marriage?
That I'm going to give a 3.5 with possibility of it being 4 later. Right now, where as far as I've gotten, I think the plot is fairly well developed, but I agree with you in that the supernatural part of it is not well described, and I don't know if that's because I'm too early in the series and they develop it later, or if it's because they didn't really develop it that much at all. So that's why I'm like on the fence there.
I'm gonna agree with your 3.5 stars. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 5, how would you rate everything else? The character design, the soundtrack, the CGI, even though the CGI, you could barely tell there was CGI.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to give that a solid 4. I thought the character designs were pretty great. I loved the attention to detail that they gave when they were like showing specifically Mio's kimonos and things like that.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
The art style was very nice as well. Kyoka's character design is just like chef fucking kiss.
I know.
So good.
Ponytail.
I think this was a unique challenge too, because they were mixing like Western with Japanese, like older Japanese like styling. So that's why I gave it a 4. I think they did a good balance of the two.
I am gonna agree on giving this a 4. I thought that it was animated very well. You can not even tell that CGI was used, but I know basically all anime now is using CGI. Thought it was very smooth. I really enjoyed the character designs. Everyone looks very unique. And even if you can't remember a person's name, you can pick them out in a scene because they all look different. And yeah, the attention to detail, especially for the clothing. Amazing. Like, you don't get that a lot of the times in anime nowadays. I like that they paid attention to the small, intricate details. Like, the detailing on the comb that she gets from Kudo.
Yes.
Stuff like that. So, very simple question. Would you recommend this show, yay or nay?
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna have to, like, not recommend it. Well, no. I won't say that. I would only recommend it on a few caveats. I'll be like, how into romance are you? And how high is your tolerance for annoying voices? Like, based upon those answers, I would either recommend it or not recommend it.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Let's wrap up this episode with our weekly K-pop recommendations.
I actually have a throwback because I was listening to this today and I'm like, God damn it, I forgot how good this song is. And that song is Snapping by Chungha.
Oh my God. That song, literally, that was the first Chungha song that I had heard. And I was like, who is she? I must know.
We must know. Yes.
I'm going to recommend Slay by Everglow.
Ooh.
All my girls slay. Thank you so much for listening to this episode all about My Happy Marriage. You can find Soulmates Podcast on Facebook, facebook.com/soulmatespodcast.
You can check us out on Instagram at Soulmates Podcast. That's where our link tree is, which links to all of our relevant social media accounts.
You can send us an email at soulmatespodcast@gmail.com.
You can check out some of our videos on YouTube under our channel name, Soulmates Podcast.
This program is available pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and Spotify. Wherever you're listening right now, make sure you like, you follow, you subscribe, you hit that bell. I don't know.
Whatever.
Whatever. We're here every other Friday for your ear holes. And your ear holes, you. Specifically you.
Hey, you.
We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.